It's Beamaz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome in. Beamaz and Beamer back together. Everyone's in a good mood because it's Dingus Day.
That's right.
Joe's not wearing red.
No, sorry.
What the heck?
Well, when I put my clothes on in the morning,
I know you have red too because we have basically the same sweatshirt.
I should have worn
mine right now.
Well, see, that sweatshirt you're wearing doesn't fit me right now. So
that's a lie.
No.
You buy too tight of a sweatshirt then.
Well, yeah. When I was 40 pounds lighter, it fit me just great.
The whole point of having a sweatshirt is that you can be a little hefty.
Yeah,
just wearing a sweatshirt.
I don't want to be hefty.
No one sees. So welcome into Beamaz and Beamer, and a lot to get to today, Joe.
You missed two eventful days, Brian.
I did. What happened Thursday? Oh, my days are all mixed up. See, I kept thinking that Thursday was Friday, and you know, I kept mixing my days up because normally I would be, you know, if I take off, I would be off on like a Friday,
right?
And then to the weekend, but I was off the extra day too. So on all day Thursday, I was just assuming it was Friday.
Yeah, you missed the big story on Thursday, and then you missed what I showed you before the show, the Alan Thick thing that I literally talked about for an hour on Friday.
Yeah, which was the most hilarious part of that is Joe showing me this video of Alan Thick singing
Sweaty and Hot
in front of a bunch of people doing aerobics. You know, just the most ridiculous thing in the world. Like, why had this even crossed your... And then in the meantime, he gets like a breaking news, you know, update on his phone. It pops up on the top of the screen, and all I see is something about 26 people. I have no idea what's going on. And Joe just swipes it back up before he can even read it. Sorry, we're watching this aerobics video.
Can't take away from the song.
All these breaking news alerts, obviously not important enough.
That's what happens when you just send out, you know, alert after alert, and they become meaningless. You know, wait for the important things to send out the alerts.
Yeah,
that's what I say.
I see that too. Joe, I saw this in the Wall Street Journal, and I was thinking about it. It got me thinking about this, and I was wondering if this is true. And I feel like for maybe older generations would know this more than we do now. But the Wall Street Journal, according to the journal, data indicates that more people are cursing at work. More people are swearing and using expletive language at work. And I don't know, Joe, do you think we at work more? I mean, I don't...
The number of people spent their Easter weekend...
I don't know. There's, you know, I should organize my cuts here. I don't know if we're swearing at work as much as we used to.
You know... I don't think I swear any more or any less than I think I'm very consistent with my foul language.
It's a little bit different for us though here, right?
Right. We can only curse at certain times.
You're not supposed to even swear in the vicinity of the microphone just in case it's on.
Right.
You don't want it to get picked up. Those rules have been broken before.
Yeah, those rules. And you would think of all... But you know what? I mean, nothing's ever malfunctioned in this studio.
We got our button on the button. Our finger on the button. Our button on the button. It's a Monday after a long weekend.
It sure is. Stingus Day, for crying out loud.
But no, I wonder if that's a thing that people are noticing. More people are swearing at work.
Coming back to work, right? A lot of frustration. Maybe you've been stuck at home. Maybe you just got used to saying whatever you wanted at home. You know, so you showed up to work in sweatpants and you're cursing all day.
But the journal says it has something to do with a business formality. They say business formality is on the way out. He said, you know, back in 2020, he noticed a lot of different language in transcripts. You know, being a little bit more formal before people took a couple years off. And he said, this is Nick Amazing, who's the director of research for this firm that did this survey, said, you know, back a couple years ago, everyone was formal. Now everyone's just saying it. I mean, it's I don't notice it quite as much. But, you know, again, it's just us going back and forth usually.
Yeah, I mean, the way we talk hasn't really changed.
Yeah, for the better or worse.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means behind the scenes, but no, I thought that was interesting. I also saw this over the weekend, Joe, when I was away, that, you know, some, I usually try and escape from the news, but, I, you know, some things just kind of, you know, someone will bring it to your attention or whatever. And this was on Yahoo News. It was getting passed around over the weekend. Was the story about the Bills Stadium. I don't know if you saw this, where the title was, I've studied stadium financing for over two decades, and the new Bills Stadium is one of the worst deals for taxpayers I've ever seen.
Wow, I did not see this.
Written by Victor Matheson, who's a professor of economics and accounting for College of the Holy Cross. And I saw this and I said, well, you know what, Joe? If anybody knows anything about the fabric and culture of Western New York, it's a liberal arts professor from Massachusetts.
Yeah, right?
If there's anyone qualified to tell me what a waste of money is in Buffalo, New York, it is somebody teaching at the College of the Holy Cross in Massachusetts, right?
Well, I just looking at glossing over this, a return to the bad old days, yes, is a line he uses in the article.
Of course, you know, and you go through, it's the same old stuff. It's comparisons to Los Angeles. It's all the same. It just goes back to, if someone from out of town is going to tell us how to, you know, how to think about this whole thing, who has no connection to the Bills or Western New York.
Right.
You don't have to have a connection to the Bills. You just have to have a connection to the area to really think about that. And I will not let anybody tell me otherwise.
It's funny how many people in the media write articles like this, or, you know, have these negative thoughts on the stadium. But you talk to people who have never been to a Bills game, maybe never been to Buffalo. Most people who know of sports in the NFL know what this team means to the area. You don't even have to step foot in Western New York. Apparently,
if anyone knows what a football team means to an area, Joe, it's a liberal arts professor, yeah, out of Worcester, Massachusetts.
Exactly, exactly.
Those people are so into the NFL, they really know what it means. Here's the thing, but I saw this on the heels of, Joe, seeing it was brought to my attention because of everything going on with the Little Rock,
right?
Or excuse me, the Sullivans,
right?
Of the Little Rock. And you remember just 5 years ago, the new USS Little Rock, LCS-9, was commissioned here in Buffalo. The Navy's brand new warship.
Is that the one you went on?
Yes, I went on it. I jumped from a Coast Guard boat onto this new ship in the middle of Lake Erie. One of the most terrifying things I've ever done as a radio reporter. Not because of the jump, but because I was wearing all this heavy equipment with it. I would have sank right to the bottom if I missed my step. But the beautiful ceremony, a lot of fanfare, big new ship. And here we are, Joe. There's an actual war going on.
Yes.
And I saw over the weekend that new Little Rock is on the list of ships to be decommissioned in 2022.
Wow. 5 years later. And it spent most of its time in ice in Montreal.
So while someone's writing about what a terrible deal for taxpayers keeping the Bills in Buffalo is, nobody's writing about a terrible deal for taxpayers. What, $400 million on...
Ooh, for 5 years. That's...
Can somebody tell me what... How many flags, Russian flags, are painted on the side of that ship for, you know, planes and submarines that it took down? We guess zero.
Yeah.
I was
most
stunned.
Most of the time was trying to get out of Buffalo. Of the five years.
It's been like a year trying to get out of the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
But now, can we just bring it back? One ship goes down.
Have two Little Rocks?
Yeah, the Little Rock and the Little Rock.
Yeah.
The big Little Rock.
Which one would be the big one? The new one?
What are we using? It's decommissioned.
Yeah.
What are we using it for?
We could replace it, and we could have a Sullivan's memorial inside the new one. You like that?
you could probably fit the Sullivan's inside
there,
the new one.
There you go. And it wouldn't sink.
But that's right there. The Sullivan's is... We use the term listing because it can't really sink
right now
where it is right now. It's in like 5 feet deep, or, you know, it's not that deep, the water. So it can't really sink the way that you would think of it. It's a listing. It's taking on water. And I don't know, Joe. I feel like we're missing on an opportunity here to, you know, eventually. I think everyone is kind of the mind that, you know, okay, well, they'll fix it up and it'll go back to normal.
Until something happens again. That's my mindset. As long as it's sitting in that water, something's probably going to happen
again. Well, you got to continually fix it up. I'm sure you can't just leave something in water for forever. Eventually, look at the Titanic.
I know.
Eventually, that stuff decomposes.
That's starting to, yeah.
You know, it might take some time, but the stuff's going to go away. But I think everyone is of the mind, Joe, correct me if I'm wrong, that, you know, okay, well, it's very sad that it happened.
Yes.
But they'll fix it up, and it'll probably go back, and I don't know the inner workings behind it. It'll probably take a while, but the ship will once again be where it was. In the meantime, I want to go see it.
Yes. Yes, I think a lot of people, that's the quiet part. They don't want to admit it, but yes.
Like, you know, it's too bad that this happened, but
right, of course.
I want to see it now more than I have in the last 10 years.
Oh, 100. I would have liked to see it on Friday when the water was on the deck.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that you're kind of sitting on an opportunity here to where, you know, if you're looking to raise money for the saving of the ships and the future of the Naval Park, and also kind of showcase what Buffalo has here. Obviously, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. I don't really know even the beginning of what that would take to fix the problems that led to what we saw late last week. But it's a lot of work. However, in the meantime, I mean, I see so many people commenting about, it's just another bad look for Buffalo. And I don't think anybody really, I think only people in Buffalo and Western New York have that mindset of, oh yeah, another black guy on Buffalo. I think people are looking at this and saying, oh wow, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to go see this. And it's something a little bit different. And wow, now they're going to fix this ship in this naval park and bring it back to life. And well, that's very interesting. I don't think anybody's really looking at it like a black eye or a stain on Buffalo for not being able to keep the ship where it is.
No, I agree. I think, well, Brian, we live, and I hate to say this, but well, I'm going to say it anyway. We live in a place where people always look for the negative. I think we're just used to doing that in Western New York.
Oh, you're kidding me, Joe. I said the library is going to do away with late fees. What does everybody say? Oh, how do you, what are, all these people are going to keep them. No, they're not. Just people, we live in a world of miserable people, Joe.
Someone says they've never put money into the Sullivans. No, they have. They just finished.
Well, they were beginning, they've put a lot more in. But there's money that's gone. It gets repainted the hulls every year. I mean,
I don't want to be negative, but you see the Naval Park and it's beautiful. It's awesome. There's a submarine there. There's the Little Rock there. There's a lot of cool stuff there. The Sullivans is the one that keeps on having the issues. So here's my question, Brian, and this might be a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why does the Sullivans have to be in water? Why can't we get the important parts of the Sullivans instead of continuing to, that money could go to other parts of the Naval Park, in my opinion.
So you're saying take it out of the water?
I'm saying save the important parts of the ship.
I don't, how would you go?
You don't have those issues with the Little Rock. You don't have those issues with a submarine that is literally in the water. You're having these problems with the Sullivans. I'm not saying it's not important. Is there a way we could do this where it's not sitting in water or save the important things like those letters we keep talking about?
I think those are gone.
Well, I'm trying to be positive.
All right.
Positive vibes. It's Monday. It's Dingus Day. And put that kind of stuff in the museum. I just don't know why it has to continue to sit in water. You do have these other boats that have been decommissioned that are sitting on land, and you can still tour through it like as if it was in water. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Instead of spending all this money continuously.
To me, I would just, the important part is the ship. But I just don't think
you
that
can take
there
it out of the water and still be a ship.
Yeah, I think it loses all of its appeal out of water.
Okay,
to me, I love
the Little Rock is still in water.
Yeah, but it looks good as a, you know, the three of them together.
It does.
It kind of, it's all perfect together.
But is there a point where, okay, this thing is taking on water again? You know what I mean? I mean, is there a point where you say,
I would hope
what are
that,
the other options?
You know, the money, that it's $1.5 million so far, and we'll see where this goes from here. But the money that's been raised to this point, and will be raised off of this should hopefully be more than enough to, you know, right the ship.
I like that. I hope so too. I'm just saying. Yeah, these are the things that I think of. The money they're bringing in for this, is there something else that we could do?
I'm just thinking, if you're in that situation, if you're at the Naval Park, and we had Paul Marzello on earlier this morning, and I just said at the end, hey, you know, we got a lot of local artists here. Have someone to make a, you know, Save the Sullivans picture with, you know, an artist rendering, like a 50s-style war propaganda poster of the Sullivans right there at the Naval Park, you know, a third underwater. Things like that, you know, get some merch and hawk it up there with some fundraisers and think fast on this, because I think this is a real opportunity where, quite frankly, there's a lot of interest in this that hasn't been there. I mean, people love
That's
the
true.
Ships,
yeah.
But, you know, and it's something you might go to a lot as a kid, something you might stop and enjoy if you're walking to a Sabres game or you're down in the area over the summer. But generally, you're not spending a lot of time or money, on or with the ships in a normal year. Here is, well, this is something you've never seen before. And it's hopefully something you're not going to see again.
Right.
Yeah. So in this time, come on down. And while you're here, please help us out. Donations. Here's some special merchandise to kind of help us out a little bit more. It's going to take some money to get this right. But in the time being, we all saw the crowds this weekend. People want to go see this ship.
Yeah, that's true.
That's half underwater. I mean, that's unique. That's a novelty that we haven't seen before.
And like you said, hopefully not again.
And I want to get, and how many people did you hear over your Easter weekend say, oh, I'd like to see that?
Oh.
And how many times in the last 20 years have you heard somebody say, oh, I have to get down to see the Naval Park?
Yeah. No, not only hear that, how many times I went on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and people had pictures. People were downtown. They had taken pictures. Some people took their picture in front of it. I mean, people were going down to see this over the weekend.
We need local artists. Come on, get on there. Save the Sullivans. Make the big poster. I made one, an Avenge the Sullivans one over the weekend for the Sabres. I thought, how could the Sabres lose? They were home Thursday night. Somebody just sank our ship. I mean, you have to, that's a rallying cry. And they lost to St. Louis, you know.
But they had a great comeback on Saturday.
They came back over the weekend. But I was really thinking, right, that they could have made something happen. But I think it's interesting. I think it is a...
It is interesting. 100% it's interesting. And it's, like you said, I'd love to go down there and see it.
It's an opportunity. I'm just saying, it's unfortunate that it happened. But a lot of times something like this happens, it does present an opportunity in moving forward. And, you know, whether it's the grain elevator, there's a huge hole in the side of it. Well, now you actually have people talking about it, and maybe it is an opportunity, but you have to act fast while attention is on this grain elevator to move forward. It's every year at Dingus Day, right? The central terminal is in focus. This year, people won't be inside, but
Right. Every
year it's like, hey, this is
doing?
An opportunity where you have attention on you, and Broadway Market is the same way. What are you going to do with that in order to help you move forward? And I think that is the question when it comes to the Naval Park. Okay, here's an opportunity. How can we capitalize to, you know, help us in the future? I think there's a few ways. I hope we're asking those questions.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, and I said this on Friday, I think the Sullivans, as much as I think, you know, maybe we look at an out-of-water idea, but I think that's the reason of saving that. I think you have a lot more people behind than the grain elevator.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think it's a lot more power. I just know, Joe, I wasn't here on Thursday, and I saw the picture. And I was like, oh, I cannot believe it. B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN.
It's B-Maz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
Oh, yeah. At Canalside this summer.
Who is it?
Ja Rule.
Okay.
Now, that's a show I'll probably go to at Canalside.
Really?
Oh, Ja Rule?
That's a show for another day. I don't care who it is. I just, you're going to go to, it's not at Canalside. It's on the Outer Harbor.
The Outer Harbor. You know what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I'll probably go see T-Pain too.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you're talking about songs that were big when I was in middle school with Ja Rule, and then
again,
T-Pain, high school, college.
It has nothing to do with the artist.
No, I know what you're saying. It's the location.
It's just.
Yeah. No, I know.
Enjoy that line. I hope gas prices go down by then, because you'll be idling for a little bit. BMS and Beamer back at WBEN. You know, Joe, a lot of places running promotions today. Tax day, and you know, sometimes you'll get a special thing. And I heard on our business report this morning, Hooters, free kids meal. So if you're planning on taking little Timmy, little Joey out to Hooters today, it's on the house.
You got to go find one.
You got to go find one. But a free kids meal at Hooters for tax day.
That's good. You know, after you see that number, I owe the state how much? You know, maybe a free something will.
You might need it.
Yeah.
You might need it. Well, we're talking about a whole lot of things, including, of course, the sinking of the Sullivans here on WBEN. And, you know, maybe using it as an opportunity, right, to keep an rejuvenate interest, or to at the very least raise some extra money to help it in the future. Patricia, you're on WBEN. Thanks for calling in. 803-0930, by the way, to give us a call this morning. Patricia, you have an idea how to save the Sullivans?
Yes, I do. There's an advertisement on television with a man with a spatula, and he scoops white stuff out of the bucket and smears it on a running water.
You want a little Flex Seal for the Sullivans?
Yes, I think that would be perfect, inside and out.
All right. Well, we'll pass it along, Patricia. I wonder if they thought about that. You know, Flex Seal. I think we're past the point of Flex Seal. A year ago, I would have suggested, when this campaign first kicked off, I was like, in the meantime,
Flex Seal.
Little can of Flex Seal.
Yeah.
Might help you out there.
And if they called right now, they'd get a second tub for free.
Oh, really? Is that like the Hooters special? Charles, you're on WBEN. What's on your mind, Charles?
Well, number one, I grew up here. I'm 57, and the biggest thing that always got me whenever I came back to Buffalo is that the complainers. They'd always be complaining, no matter what was going on. The Bills were going to the Super Bowl. They lost. They just complained about them all the time. But we were winning. And, you know, just anything that they could complain about, that's what they did. And it's just, it's never changed. Always been that way.
Charles, I think you're onto something here. There's always somebody complaining about something. And this is, you know, based off of what I've seen a lot of comments online. It's only from Buffalo people of how, oh, this is giving Buffalo a black eye. The Sullivan's listing is, you know, it's a bad mark. It says bad things about Buffalo. And I just don't. I mean, do you say that anywhere, Charles? I don't think so. I think a lot of people are looking at that saying, if anything, wow, I wish I could go see that.
I've lived all over the country, and it's like, you know, they don't complain like they do here.
All right, Charles, thank you. That's I did a show like that the other week. What does Buffalo do better than anything else?
Complain,
I guess.
Right. Tailgate
right
and complain.
Why don't we go 803-0930? Why don't we do one more rapid fire? Caroline, you're on WBEN. What do you think? Can we raise some money here for the Sullivans? I feel like it should be easier now than ever before.
I agree. Perhaps you can get in touch with people who make posters or T-shirts or whatever, coffee mugs, and simply have in large capital letters, SOS, Save Our Sullivan.
I like it. You know, Caroline, you got that. Great idea. 803-0930, if you want to chime in, the text board or our Volkswagen Vorch Park text board, to give us a call this morning. You know, I like that you could do some don't give up the ship flags, sell those at the, and, you know, maybe some others with a picture of the Sullivans, what it looks like now. I don't know. I just think it's ripe for that opportunity. You have the spotlight on you, Joe.
People like to buy Buffalo merch, and this could just add to their collection of Buffalo merch.
It's the key to our booming economy is people selling things with Buffalo's flag on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything that says Buffalo, come on. You're like printing money, or at least it seems that way.
And you know, if you're giving money to this great cause, a lot of people are like this. They want people to know they gave money to a great cause. So what better way?
Yes.
To take proceeds from a shirt sale, a poster sale, you know, and then say, hey, look at me.
I think that's the way. I think that's the way that goes. And, you know, it reminded me of a lot today. We were talking with Eddie Dibishevitz and it's the Sullivans, the grain elevator a few months ago. These things that, you know, have these moments in time, an opportunity to kind of like put some light on forgotten buffalo. So, and Dingus Day is one of those. It always is.
Dingus Day.
Every single year. Time where people can go into neighborhoods that are a little bit forgotten. And, you know, see that there's things here that are worth saving, that are worth bringing back. And it is, Dingus Day makes my list. I know it spreads in Ohio. Some places they do Dingus Day. I'm sure Chicago, Pittsburgh, you know, some of these other places with high Polish populations. You know, normally in this, like, in the Great Lakes region is where I kind of think about that. Although I did get an email from New York City, that they were working on their first Dingus Day parade there.
Wow.
So, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Let's see where that goes. But it is kind of a... I look at Dingus Day as a buffalo thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Anderson Cooper didn't
almost
know what
it was, uniquely though. Buffalo.
Yeah. Well, because you mentioned those other areas like Pittsburgh, Chicago. But Dingus Day, it's more of a regional thing than a... than a cultural thing. You know, like in Chicago, it's Polish people.
Yeah.
In Buffalo, a lot of non-Polish people with no Polish history are out for Dingus Day today.
It's bigger than just the cultural celebration.
Yes,
it's like a citywide celebration.
Yes, for sure.
And I do love it as something that we celebrate better than just about anything else.
Oh, yeah.
And is that it? Is that Buffalo's best uniquely Buffalo celebration, or is there something else?
I mean, Bill's Super Bowl parade might be.
Well, when that happens, we'll add it to the list. But until now, but you know what I'm saying? It's St. Patrick's Day, they do in a lot of places.
Right, right.
So you can't just
and
say.
And every major city will say theirs is better than yours.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, we have a great ball drop, but it's New Year's Day, it's New Year's everywhere. In terms of like Buffalo celebrations, uniquely Buffalo celebrations, and not just traditions. You know, Buffalo has its own traditions around other holidays.
Right.
And we do certain things. And, you know, let's say the home opener of the Bills. You know, that in Buffalo, I feel like it's probably better than any other city. One, because it's one of our few home games where we're, you know,
in
not
shorts.
Guaranteed, but we're going to have some decent weather.
Yeah,
in shorts. But it's not a uniquely Buffalo thing. Every other NFL city has an opening day. And there's opening day at all other places.
Right.
Boston is having their Patriots Day.
Yep.
And that's like a uniquely Boston. And that's today. They do the Boston Marathon, a huge event.
They do the 11 a.m. game.
Yeah, the Red Sox play during the day. And it's like this citywide celebration. Everybody's off of work and school all throughout. And we're not at that level yet, I don't think. Because we don't have that type of exposure, and we still have to get everybody off of work and school.
Yeah.
But I think Dingus Day is that thing for Buffalo. If you're going to pick a uniquely Buffalo celebration, something that, you know, really only Buffalo does, I'm struggling to think of anything besides today that makes that list.
It's Dingus Day, and I even would argue if you took people from the Pittsburgh, the Chicago celebrations, and brought them to Buffalo, they would be amazed on how the city really just turned around for Dingus Day. And you know, Brian, you talk about the people that have off work today. I think you have a lot of people that have work off tomorrow.
Take
a day off tomorrow because of
that's
celebrations.
That's a pro tip.
Yes, I know. I've made
a
mistake.
Tuesday off.
Yeah,
but no, I think, and in Buffalo, everyone, even if you don't go out, you know what people are talking about.
Yes,
you know what it is. It's not like something that in other areas of the country. You mentioned Dingus Day. I think everyone's just kind of like, "What
the hell
are
you talking about?"
But I cannot for the life of me think of Joe anything else like a Buffalo celebration. I think in the past couple of years they've tried to do this on July 16th.
Oh, right, 716.
716. Yeah, but it's, it's fun, it's nice, and, you know, you can have, like, some civic pride that day, but it doesn't really compare.
Well, and the thing for Dingus Day is, it gets bigger in Buffalo. I mean, this is something that every year it seems more and more people want to get involved in. I know the pandemic kind of set it back, but this seems to be something that every year more and more people actually want to be a part of. And you get more and more people celebrating, more and more people taking in the festivities at night.
I like that. You know, somebody texted in with the Italian festival, and I would say it's almost going the other way, where it's gotten smaller and it's moved out, and now it's like its own closed-in thing. And every city has an Italian festival too. You know, it's no offense. We have a great Italian festival. We have some great Italian heritage here, but it's not like a uniquely Buffalo event that happens same time every year. You can point, you know, when it is at the start of the year on the calendar. Like, this is going to be a heck of a time to be in Buffalo.
The Italian Fest never should have left Hurdle. That's just my opinion. Agrees with.
But it definitely closed things in. Yeah. I mean, it slowed things. It made the opposite of Dingus Day, where now you see Dingus Day, it's not just in the old Polish neighborhoods in Buffalo. It's more of a Western New York-wide celebration.
Right, but the Italian Fest, it's getting smaller because of stuff they've done. You know what I mean? The festival, in my opinion, the festival organizers.
But it's another thing. Like, to me, to qualify for this, you know, when's the Italian festival?
Don't know.
Exactly. Dingus Day is the same.
The day after
Easter. Well, it's not the literal same date on the calendar every year, but
it's the same day.
The day after Easter every single year. Someone said the turkey trot. That's a great Buffalo thing, but it's Thanksgiving.
Right.
You know, everyone does Thanksgiving. Everyone has their own Thanksgiving traditions, and, you know, that's going to be a holiday everywhere.
Right.
But Dingus Day, it's the Buffalo holiday. It's our version of Patriots Day in Boston.
Yep.
It's our, you know, one thing. And that, I think we should use that. You talk about taking advantage of things. Use that to get more people involved. Because I think if we embrace this enough, we can get that day off that everyone has off in Boston. we can do that all throughout Western New York. It's a real fun time. And I cannot think of the thing that compares.
Is that your goal? To get Dingus Day to be a holiday in Buffalo? Is this something you want to advocate for?
Yeah. Add it to the list.
Dingus Day advocate.
Things I'll advocate for.
Yeah.
Dingus Day off advocate. We'll go to the phones, 803-0930, if you can think of one. Pat is in Buffalo. Pat, you're on WBEN. Is there a day like Dingus Day that's, you know, a unique Buffalo celebration?
Well, to answer that question, I think it's the religious part of it, because you are praying and hoping for Christ to go to heaven and that. And he does, and he manages to come back and everybody sees him. It's more of a religious type thing, I think, than more of a celebration of drinking and that.
Pat, I will respectfully, because it is a religious holiday, right? This is how it starts. It is the end of Lent celebration at the end of the day, right? Where you've gone through 40 days of fasting. And, you know, again, this is talking about the old times, because how many people do that anymore for Lent, of even giving up one thing, or 40 days of fast? It's the celebration coming out at the end of Lent, at the start of the Easter season. But it has transcended that a little bit. It has gone from that celebration, a very small celebration, to being a wider celebration of Buffalo's old Polish neighborhood and old traditions. And I think the old traditions part has stayed. Pussy Willows, some of the water, the Polish music, the kielbasa and food. But now it's growing a little bit more to, all right, so it went from a more religious celebration, an old Buffalo celebration, something to kind of keep in mind, some of the customs and traditions in old Buffalo that we had. And now it's gone more to a wider Western New York, Buffalo proud holiday like this. And someone's saying, you know, how come you're not mentioning the parade in North Tonawanda? I've done that because that's where I'll be later on today,
right,
in North Tonawanda. That would go to show it's not just in this one little area. It has expanded to all of Western New York in a way that I think makes this, it's that unique Buffalo holiday.
And to Pat's point, if I'm not mistaken, that's the, you know, to celebrate the end of Lent, which you would do by indulging because you haven't for 40 days. So that kind
it
of
it is a holiday of indulgence and fun. More so than almost anything else, and because of the religious example. But I mean, again, you expand it now. It's you go out to celebrate Dingus Day, and it's not just Catholics anymore, right?
Right.
It's just it's everybody under it's Buffalo. It's more than just that. It's Buffalo. Some chiming in saying, "Let's get the day after Dingus Day
there
off."
It is.
I mean, that's again, that's the pro tip. But now instead of, you know, maybe if you're a hardcore celebrator, you're taking both days off now.
Yeah,
here, I'll save
off.
You one. Someone said Canal Fest. And again, that's very fun. That is a great Western New York event.
Yes.
It's also like 2 weeks long.
Yeah.
It's one very particular area that I'm very fond of, but one particular area. It's not a day. I'm looking for a day for a celebration.
Right.
I don't think anything compares to Dingus Day.
No, not in Buffalo. Not at all. I mean, Buffalo does Dingus Day probably the best of anyone in the United States.
We are Dingus Day though.
Yeah.
As it spreads, I still look at, you know, the people who are mimicking Dingus Day as it's celebrated here. I mentioned New York City, they're getting on board. You have some other celebrations and you know that have some Polish heritage too. But they're not really mimicking the traditional celebration. They're trying to mimic Buffalo.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fun. I mean, that's cool that they're trying to do that.
That's one thing. One thing that people want to mimic Buffalo on.
Yeah. But I'm really, and I've been racking my brain here all morning trying to think for this show, and I really have not been able to think about
that's
one.
Because it is Dingus Day. Like you said, St. Patrick's Day is great, right? Buffalo does St. Patrick's Day, but every city has a St. Patrick's Day celebration. Dingus Day is so unique, and the way Buffalo celebrates is so unique.
Yeah. And somebody sent me the Wing Fest or Wing Festival. And okay, I get where you're coming with that's right. That is a uniquely Buffalo thing, right? That could not happen anywhere else. You can't have the Wing Fest in Topeka, Kansas. It just doesn't make sense. But that is an event at a place. Whereas Dingus Day is it is a literal holiday. It's a celebration, and you can celebrate it wherever you are. You don't have to, even though it's maybe most fun if you go, say, to the Big Ten outside the tournament. Maybe it's more fun if you go into the tournament. Maybe it's more fun if you go to the library. Maybe it's more fun if you go here or there. And everyone can have their option. But you can celebrate it anywhere you want.
That's right. Yeah. You could celebrate it at home or the bar on the corner.
That's right. And a lot of people will.
That's right.
And maybe including myself a little bit later on. And, you know, I like all your suggestions. But, Dingus Day is different.
It's,
you know, Allentown, everyone's these great festivals that we have here in Western New York, but that's not a holiday. That's not the Patriots Day in Boston. That's not one day where I can legitimately say, hey, let's have a celebration of our city on this one day. It's the same day every year, and we're going to get this to be a holiday. No one's going to have to work.
I like Brian Mazurowski, Dingus Day advocate.
It's my platform.
I like it. We'll be back. Well, I'll be back here tomorrow. Brian's going to be celebrating Dingus Day. And then B-Maz and Beamer back together on Wednesday. But stay tuned. Bella Villa is next here on WBEN.